Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. This is the broadcast for May 29th in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is indeed hour one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. It is indeed the checks and balances that are brilliant, set forth by the founding fathers, and one of the peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. Welcome to the broadcast. I will say it again, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth as we prepare people to wait for our Savior Jesus Christ to return. Once again, I testify he will. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a Memorial Day. Once again, wow, time sure flies fast, don't you know? A happy Memorial Day to all of you from us, the Liberty Roundtable team. The commitment, the courage and sacrifice of those who gave their lives to secure freedom for their fellow men, fellow citizens, should never be taken for granted, ladies and gentlemen. For too many, the upcoming Memorial Day today, or the weekend, if you will signify little more than, A, the beginning of summer, kind of a day off, a day to party, a day for cookouts. It should be way more than that, ladies and gentlemen. Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association, AFA.net, has a message for you. Sadly, honoring our heroes, fallen heroes, is not commonplace any longer in our republic. Unless future generations are taught the truth about their freedom, that it was purchased at a great price. The true meaning of Memorial Day itself may become nothing more than a memory, ladies and gentlemen. May God continue to bless America and Americans. On behalf of those who gave their very lives for liberty, for us, for her, meaning America, please take time with family and friends on this Memorial Day to reflect on the cost of freedom and our responsibility to defend and promote it. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. A very critical message this Memorial Day. It means something, folks. Understand the history. It used to be called Decoration Day, relating to the sacrifices of those who have gone before us. But remember, it's a day, in my opinion, where the hearts of the fathers should be turned to the children. And the children to the fathers. A day where we connect with one another and our history and our ancestors in very meaningful ways. Contemplation about the history of the world under the leadership of Jesus Christ. Understand the great fall by Adam, the great resurrection by Jesus Christ, and all the actions of people on the earth in between. You are in an epic battle, good over evil, right over wrong, truth over error. Where do you stand in this incredible battle? Do you spend your time just titillated with entertainment and fun, and are you kind of distracted? Or do you, my fellow Americans, realize that your job on the earth is not a job of entertainment? Sure, once in a while, it's fine to have a little bit of break. I get it, but it is vital that you stand for truth, that you realize who you are, okay? It's a time for you to focus on all the good you can do all the day long. It's time to be anxiously engaged in a good cause, okay? It's always a good guy with a gun who stops a bad guy with a gun, for instance. It's always those who stand up for liberty. Remember the early days when you couldn't even read the Bible and good, honest folks stood up and said, no, we want to read the Bible. God granted us incredible innovation. The printing press was developed, and now y'all can read the Bible. You don't have to depend on some elite thug to tell you what it is or what it's not. You can read it for yourself. Well, we've had liberty growing ever since then, tyranny growing as the counterpart. You stand in the middle. No doubt liberty will prevail, but I hope to be on the Lord's side and hope you will too. Dr. Bradley, a happy Memorial Day to you and your family, and welcome, sir.
Well, same right back to you and all the listeners. I this is Memorial Day, and I'm sure there's a lot of things to talk about, but perhaps as we go up to this first break, maybe we can at least do something on Memorial Day. This is a day that that has largely become a barbecue beer bust with flowers. I don't know what you want to call it, but literally and truthfully, it's funny, not funny, it's kind of tragic. I have done some studies over the years in regards to casualty rates on different events that have happened down through history. It's a lot harder than people might think. Go do some research yourself about coming up with very, very accurate numbers of casualties in battles or wars. The fog of war continues in the casualty rates too. But the best I can come up with is that since 1775, about 1.8 million Americans have given their lives in service to this country. Now, we forget that each of those that made the ultimate sacrifice likely left behind loved ones who were bereft and left to mourn their great loss. And so those who have felt the emptiness, the sadness, the loneliness at the passing of a loved one surely should be able to empathize with the emotions that have felt a loss of their loved ones that were serving the nation. But so, 1.8 million perhaps since 1775, and that's a minuscule amount in comparison to, the Soviets had a huge, they lost 20 million people in World War II alone. So there have been some horrific, horrific wars throughout all of history. But really and truly, we do need to recognize the service and sacrifice of all those that have gone before. It's been said that the price of liberty is blood, human blood. That price was paid. It has been paid over the years, was paid by those who established the country, but it's been paid in countless other ways, very real senses, ever since then. But one of the, and with all of this talk about death and dying and battles and all that kind of stuff, I doubt, in fact, I've observed over the last 50, 60 years, a tendency that I think is a little bit of a bad skew on this thing. The Lindsey Grahams of this world never saw a scrape around the world that they didn't want to kill some Marines in. And that is not what this is about. This is not a militaristic, this is not a military adventurism story. This is not, let's go see how many battles we can get in, all the adventure. I remember I joined when I was 18. It was kind of like, what does a kid know? But here's the deal. The best way, perhaps, to save or to support our troops, to use that term, we got to support the troops every time we have a National Defense Authorization Act. The best way to support our troops, I think, is to use them appropriately. We don't throw them into harm's way simply because Lindsey Graham wanted to get some Marines killed over in Somalia. We don't do that. We have a constitutional process by which we go to war. It's got to be just. It's got to be examined. It's got to be deliberative. It's got to be done in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11. There is no authority for a president to engage anywhere in the world. We're probably in 130 countries right now, militarily. Now, it doesn't mean we're, shooting at each other over the top of a bunch of sandbags, but it does
But it does mean we have a costly sovereignty-violating presence. Let's say it that way, sir.
There's no question about that. And here's the deal. I mean, we could talk probably the rest of the hour on what we've done in Ukraine and how that violates the baseline principles. We have got to recognize and honor the service and sacrifice of countless that have gone before. But we have got to stop being idiots when we let buffoons, baboons, and bozos run this country, and we put, if you will, our best and brightest, our bravest, however you want to put it, in harm's way inappropriately. There is a place and there is a must of war. I mean, the Founding Fathers recognized that bad people do bad things, and we had to have a way to go into battle. But it could not be as the monarchs had done before. Every time historically there was a war, you know, one monarch got ticked off at another one, and the people had nothing in the battle until they started to suffer. When their sons are sent off to battle to bleed and die on Napoleon's battlefields, I mean, 6 million people is the best number I can come up, died as Napoleon tromped around Europe, you know, in the early part of the 1800s. It was Napoleon and his empire-building thing. And the United States had seen those things for centuries. Well, they hadn't seen them for centuries, but they had read history. They knew what the motivations were, and usually it was not for the proper purposes.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, a quick pause. I'll tell you this. Dr. Bradley's right. Until the people start to suffer, they don't wake up. It just becomes bread and circus, which we're going to see today for Memorial Day. But my question is this. At what point will Americans wake up and understand the country is in the middle of a Marxist takeover? Dr. Bradley in seconds on your radio.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
If you're not careful, you fall into the trap where it feels like there's jackals on every hand, then it's a lost cause. Never believe that, ladies and gentlemen, that's Satan's trap. God Almighty is in charge. His Savior Jesus Christ did die on the cross and was resurrected, and with that comes tremendous hope for all those who believe. We literally prepare people this day to wait for the Savior Jesus Christ to return. You know what? Our job isn't to be popular and to you know, focus on the masses or etc. Our job isn't to, you know, get rich and make money and become a rock star on the radio. Our job is to educate, teach people to pray, teach people to repent, teach people to have faith and turn to God and believe in Christ, to teach people to promote that which is good and make it popular, and reject that which is evil and make it unpopular. Okay, but when are the American people going to wake up, Dr. Bradley, and realize, you know what, we're in the middle of a massive Marxist takeover. There's no two ways about it. And we better stand up this Memorial Day, reflect, and get serious. And we better do it fast.
Well, it's a war of attrition. You know, attrition, if you look it up in the dictionary, has to do with grinding away. And back, you know, if you look and if you'll spend any time, I teach the Communist Manifesto, honestly. I'm not promoting it, but people need to know what their enemy's doing. And we need to do a compare and contrast between what the Marx and Engels came up with their League of Just Men, the Communists, and what the American Founding Fathers. There's nothing could be farther apart. They're completely the antithesis of each other.
Well, and that's why I highlight that it's the epic battle that started in the war in heaven, continued on earth. It's either God or godless. It's either God, Christ, or Satan. Okay, there's no two ways about it. One's godless, one's godly. One's tyranny, the other one's agency, liberty. One's the agency, the ability to choose, the other one's the denial thereof. It is that blatant, Doctor.
Well, I see the eternal conflict boiling down to two issues. One is, will God continue on his throne or be dethroned? Okay, that's one issue. And you can see that battle if you've got any kind of awareness today that that's being waged against everywhere, all of us at all times. We begin at the youngest of ages, incorporating our children into godless philosophy-based schools. So humanism is a faith-based, godless philosophy that believes and worships the wisdom of man. That is the basis of our education system. It violates the First Amendment in that we have a state-supported religion, tax-supported religion being taught to our children that denies the existence of God. So that one aspect of it is, God going to stay on his throne or not? We're trying, well, we are not, you and I, and I'm sure hope most of your listeners are in this same page, but the vast majority of Americans are being immersed in a godless religion, and it's we start from, you know, at least age 5 in our schooling. And it goes through the, and once you get into the universities and the black-robed priests of humanism are there promoting that. The other side is, the other aspect or conflict point in this eternal battle is mankind's liberty. And if you read in Luke chapter 4, the Savior in Nazareth was given the book of Isaiah chapter 61, in which he read what Isaiah had written in regards to the Savior's beginning of his ministry, and to liberate the captive is one of the central things. So anyway, here we go. It's about liberty. It's about God. And this thing is waged on all sides. Now today, in America, because we have embraced this godless religion called humanism, that every child is immersed in from age 5 forward, and encouraged to go to the higher level, if you will, once they get into the university status, we find that there's an awful lot of people that are embracing this. And so when Marx and Engels brought this forth, there was a philosophy that says basically we enforce this or we implement this out of the barrel of a gun or the point of a bayonet.
We mandate this.
Well, then that's the way the Bolsheviks went about this thing with their revolution with Lenin and the boys in Russia in 1917. But there was another philosophy that was out there, and it's kind of the prevailing philosophy right now in America. And we in America have adopted what I call the Gramscian Marxism. And Antonio Gramsci was a Marxist in Italy in the 1920s. And he absolutely dedicated to Marxism, unquestionably. He wanted it all over the world. But he had a different philosophy. Let's bring this along a slice at a time. By
soft,
legislation,
gentle
by actions.
Communism. Yeah, forced
yeah, oh, yeah,
by
kinder,
gentle means.
Yeah, kinder, gentler nation, as George H.W. Bush said. Okay, so Antonio Gramsci rejoiced at what the Bolsheviks did. He went to Russia to celebrate with his Bolshevik buddies. He nearly got put to death because he was saying, oh, look, guys, we can do this all over without pointing bayonets at people and shooting them. And so Lenin and the boys were pretty ticked off. Stalin was. So he escaped with his life, went back to Italy. He got arrested there because the Mussolini fascists were there. It's all the same poison. It's just which gang's going to be in charge. They put him in jail, and he wrote volumes about how to do this slice-at-a-time communism. A little vote here, a little vote there. We embrace it a little bit at a time until it is completely immersed the nation. That's where the United States is doing this. We are, I mean, everything from the sexual perversion things that are happening, the loss of the moral character, the loss of the standard of honesty in politics. We go with talking points and policy, you know, listings instead of going with baseline principles. And pretty soon everything gets kind of murky and muddy. And over time, there's a drift away from the baseline principles. It's a fascinating thing to watch, but it's horrific to the country and where it's going with it. And all of these people, we're talking on Memorial Day, all of these 1.8 million that have died, the countless others that were maimed, their families and loved ones that were bereft of their loved ones, all of these kind of things get set aside as we slowly slide into tyranny. And whether it's the FISA court thing, or it's the National Security Agency, or it's the Patriot Act, or it's some other silly, foolish, the Federal Reserve. I mean, all of these things fit in the Marxist realm of where they're taking us, and we have voted it into our lives to the point that most people don't even recognize. I'll just tell you, back in 2009, I was speaking in a little community in Wyoming. I think the whole community came out to hear what was being said. There were a lot of patriotic people. And I got done, I opened it up for questions. I've told you this story before, Sam. Maybe some of your listeners have even heard it. Anyway, there was this old cowboy on the front row sitting there listening as best he could. His hearing was kind of bad. And I says, any questions or comments? And he stood up. He says, could I say something? I said, sure. And he turned around to the audience. He says, I'm the only one here that was born free. He says, I was born in 1911. I'm going, oh, pretty fine firearm. Anyways, that's a side trip. Anyway, so he was 98 in 2009. That's how I remember the year so well. Anyway, he says, I'm the only one in this room that was born free. I'm the only one that lived in freedom in this country. The rest of you don't know what you've lost. He says, I've seen it disappear in my lifetime in this country. And he says, and if you don't listen to this young man up here, and I'm going, he's talking about me. He says, if you don't listen to this young man up here, he says, your grandchildren will never recognize what you lost for them. I mean, it was just astounding. Here's a man that had seen in his lifetime. I mean, he watched the Federal Reserve and the 16th Amendment, the 17th Amendment come. I mean, he was young, admittedly. But all of the bizarre things, our entry into world wars that we should never have been in, and we could talk about why I state that with such assertion. But all of these things that have happened, these unending wars that we've had during my entire lifetime, the fiscal irresponsibility that grasps at destroying our God-given rights that were protected, like for the Fourth Amendment. Patriot Act got rid of the Fourth Amendment. It doesn't exist anymore, people. I mean, you look at what's happening with the Second Amendment. Look what they did over the last 3 years with your religious liberty. They shut your church down, and most of your leaders agreed wholeheartedly and celebrated out the door. I mean, they stopped. You know what? I've heard it said that the most important work in heaven and on earth is collecting God's children to Christ. And the churches shut down that effort for 2 years solid, and they're kind of muddling through it right now a little bit. It's absurd
what
we've done.
It's sad but true, ladies and gentlemen. It is insane, but listen to me carefully. We the people need to learn to reject slice-at-a-time communism. All communism, for that matter. When we come back, I got an issue that's closely related. I think kind of the tip of the spear for the discussion, if you will, on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Richard Johnson. It's on to a vote in the House of Representatives on Wednesday for the bill that dials down federal spending and raises the debt ceiling.
We still have a lot of work to do, but I believe this is an agreement in principle that's worthy of the American people.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy on the agreement between him and President Biden, who was quick to clarify details and the importance of the deal when talking to reporters.
You want to try to make it look like I made some compromise on the debt ceiling, and I didn't. I made a compromise on the budget.
That's what they wanted, is you make a compromise on the budget, and that's what you've done, even though you haven't gone as far as they wanted. Isn't that right?
Sure, yeah. Well, can you think of an alternative?
Now, will it pass the House? Far-left Democrats may not be happy, like Washington's Pramila Jayapal on CNN.
I'm not happy with some of the things I'm hearing about, but they are not cutting the deficit, and they are not cutting spending.
South Dakota Republican Dusty Rhodes tells CNN he's sure some in his party won't like it.
When you're saying that conservatives have concerns, it is really the most colorful conservatives.
But Johnson also says it is a fantastic deal. Traders around the world appear to be liking it. Japan's Nikkei average was up by more than 1%. The UK's FTSE's up by about 0.75% so far today. The U.S. markets are closed. With his re-election to another five-year term now secure, Turkey's president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, will enter his third decade in power. Voters in Spain go to the polls later this year, now that Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez has called for an early election. Sanchez's Socialist Party has lost a lot of offices in yesterday's regional and local elections. Could the 2013 Miami Heat match the 2004 New York Yankees, winning the first three games of a playoff series, then losing the next four? It's Game 7 tonight between the Heat and the Boston Celtics. The winner plays Denver for the NBA championship. This is USA News.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Myself, Sam Bushman, and Dr. Scott Bradley live with you on this Memorial Day. You know, a lot of people are taking a break for the holiday. We're not. We want to basically educate. We want to stand in the gap. We want to interpose to the American people. We want to represent the founding fathers in a meaningful way. And I know I'm a poor substitute for the founders. I get it. But I'm going to do the very best that I can in my generation so that I can stand before the judgment bar of Christ with my skirt clean, if you will, my hands clean, if you will. Look, Memorial Day represents commitment, courage, sacrifice. Those gave their lives for liberty, ladies and gentlemen. We need to honor the heroes of the past, but most importantly, we need to do our very best to try to become like them in our day. May God continue to bless America on behalf of those who gave their lives for liberty. Please take time with your family and friends to focus on this critical issue. We talked about we the people need to learn to reject all communism for that matter, but slice at a time communism particularly, because that's how we're being destroyed primarily today in America. There's an article that I found incredible that I want to talk about today that I know it seems like, Sam, you just completely switched gears, but I don't think so. I think I'm absolutely on target. The only way to restore this republic, folks, is to repent, become a moral and a religious people again, and turn to God Almighty. And if we don't do that, as George Washington said, we've lost the two great supports. We have got to return to being a moral and a religious people, or, ladies and gentlemen, it's curtains. All right. And I'm not being doom and gloom, because there's a way back. There is a solution. That is the important focus here today. You know what? I don't want to just run around and preach negativity, but I do want a reality check. You know, you got to know where you are to reset your, recalibrate your compass to know where you want to go. We're in trouble, folks, because we've lost religion and morality in America. Well, anyway, there's an incredible article written at WorldNet Daily or WND.com. And it's written by a guy by the name of Larry Tomczak. Larry Tomczak, WND.com. And the headline says this: summer starts. Should gals go sexy or modest? He asks. He urges biblical standards for clothing pleasing to God. This is an important focus, ladies and gentlemen. He says, look, short shorts, bikinis, sprayed on yoga pants, not literally sprayed on, but, you know, so tight that nothing's left to the imagination. Let's say that. Does it really matter as temperatures rise and summer starts? His point is, of course it does. Dear sisters, he says, as summer approaches, it is so important to be mindful of your clothing choices. Please, please prioritize dressing modest. Dressing modestly in the fear of God. And being considerate of your brothers in Christ. Now, the women would riot at this point that are liberal feminists and say, oh, how dare you? We should be able to dress however we want to, and a man should be able to control his thoughts and his mind, and how dare him? But ladies and gentlemen, then he says this, and I find this valuable as all get out. Let's help our young women learn to discern. Think about that phrase, incredible. Let's help our young women learn to discern the deception of pop culture, advocating empowerment. Remember, modest attire starts in the heart, not a dress code. Let's focus on the abundant life Jesus promised. It's incredible. Let's ask, who dictates my wardrobe? Worldly magazines, movies, models, or the Word of God? Yeah, incredible questions, huh? Which calls me to be as a woman. One, feminine. Two, modest. Three, appropriate. He then goes on and talks in this article about acceptable occasions to wear yoga pants. Hey, maybe when you're in a private gym. Maybe when you're hanging around the house with your husband. He says bikinis, listen carefully, are closer to nudity than swimwear. Women, please cover up, especially Christian women. Sisters, be mindful of the conscience of your brothers in the Lord. If you cause your brother to sin, you played a part, he wisely says. Now, I know the feminists are going to just riot at this. I know they're just going to be like, how dare you act like it's the woman's fault, or how dare you give men a license to behave in this way. We're not giving men anything. We're just telling you that it's two sides to the same discussion. Men should control their thoughts and their minds and their actions and their behavior. No question about it. But women, on the other hand, should not play the role of temptress. And they certainly should not be so naive to think they don't have reality in this. Men and women both have an obligation to protect one another from sin. Let's help our young women, and I would add our young men, to literally reject the pop culture and turn to God. Okay? Are these unreasonable perspectives, folks? Are they biblical? Does it really matter? He doubles down and says, yes, we need scriptural guidelines and scriptural guidance. And he then goes on to quote scriptural clarity on this, reveals the direction that Savior Jesus Christ gave us to never look upon a woman to lust after her. All right. Anyway, think about all that. We're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, as a temple. We should look sharp, not seductive. We can dress cool without appearing chic. We know that we should never wear clothing that draws lustful looks, causing others to stumble in sin. Modesty is an important principle. And then he goes on and talks about helpful definitions. It's a great article that I believe highlights the key to our return, Dr. Bradley, to a godly people, to a moral and a religious people, the two great necessary supports if we want freedom to return in America, sir.
You know, there's so many things to talk about this. A few things come to mind that maybe we'll have time to touch on. But, you know, we're sent here upon an earth that has purpose, and we're proving our character all the time. And this, the propagation of the race is absolutely critically important. And so the drive to propagate the race has to be strong and constant. But it's got to be used in the appropriate manner, established by God. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I mean, that's kind of one of the top ten, you know. And, you know, he touches briefly in that article, apparently, upon what the Savior said in Matthew chapter 5. And he said, you have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. And then the next verse says, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So that's a pretty steep precipice to be jumping off. But nonetheless, God put us on the earth. He knew that we would need to be able to keep the race going. He gave us that. It is also an opportunity to prove or demonstrate, if you will, that our character with that propagation power. And it is within a limited scope to be used. Now, so those that flaunt and tempt, if you will, temptress, you use that term. And when you said not to look cheap, I thought you said chic, and maybe you did. But how close chic and cheap are to each other. Oftentimes we cross that line, I think, in our daily attire and the way we go about things. It's interesting, John Adams made a comment that the Constitution was only for a religious and a moral people. And I've got a whole chapter in my book about virtue and where the founding fathers got that and who of their mentors spent so much time on that. And let's just talk about Montesquieu for just a second. Montesquieu studied the different forms of government that he could discover in his day. And he tried to review each one a little bit in his book, The Spirit of Laws, which everyone ought to read. Read the Nugent translation from 1750, by the way, if you're going to. But at any rate, that's the one the founders read. But at any rate, when he came to republics, which is what we're supposed to be, he said the one word description that should describe a republic is virtue. And maybe we can talk about virtue for a second from a maintenance of the nation and its character when we get back from the break, because virtue is essential.
Roger that. Count on it, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, continues in seconds on this live Memorial Day.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? I believe that great nations and great civilizations spring from a people who have a moral compass.
I don't think a civilization can long endure that does not have respect for all human life, born and not yet born.
I will be in earnest. I will not equivocate, and I will not excuse. I will not retreat an inch, and I will be heard.
One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Okay, so before the break, I brought up Montesquieu and some of the founding fathers and a chapter in my book called The Moral Imperative. This is an essential topic for the maintenance of our liberty. There's so many things we could talk about as we kind of get into this. Let's look at Ben Franklin, who many have wrongly impugned with the immoral character. He says, "Only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters." Does that describe America today? It seems like we've got a law for almost everything. Here's Blackstone, and I'll get to Montesquieu in just a second. But Blackstone, again, a mentor of the American founding father, he talks about morality. He says, no matter how abandoned may be a man's principles or how vicious his practice, provided he keeps his wickedness to himself and does not violate public decency, he is out of the reach of human laws. But if he makes his vices public, then they become a bad example of pernicious effect to society, and it is the business of human laws to correct them. So this idea that you can't legislate morality is absolutely absurd. In fact, if a law doesn't have a moral basis, I think it ought to be revisited. But the fact of the matter is that if you go out and kind of flaunt everything, if you will, and your morality is kind of on display, so to speak, you know, there can be some adjustments made, and that's the way laws are. But here's what some of the things Montesquieu said. Again, he predated Blackstone, but the love of our country is conducive to a purity of morals. And the latter is again conducive to the love of our country. He said, in what kind of government are censors necessary? My answer is that they are necessary in a republic where the principle of government is virtue. Another statement, he said, when a people are virtuous, few punishments are necessary. And then this one kind of cuts at the very core of the liberty issue. He said, so many are the imperfections that attend the loss of virtue in women, and so greatly are their souls degraded when this principal guard is removed, that in a popular state, that's a state where the people elect their leaders, incontinency may be considered as the last of miseries. So that's when you kind of lose control of yourself and, oh my goodness, I'm going to run rampant everywhere, and the certain forerunner of a change in the Constitution. So he foresaw the time when the moral basis of a free society would be on display to the point that, there was going to be a loss of a constitution. And as John Adams said, that the Constitution was only effective for the governance of a religious and a moral people. All of these things are core elements in maintaining our liberty. And so people say, oh, no, I can... you know, go to hell if I want. I mean, you know, maybe that's a little bit of an abrupt statement. But the point of the matter is they can take the whole country there. And goodness knows that everything that happens in this country today seems to have a sexual undertone. I mean, billboards or advertisements or movies, entertainment, some of the pop culture people today. I mean, the idea that marriage and children or even related is kind of a unique idea nowadays. I mean, these things have become so accepted in society that we've kind of abandoned things. And I wonder, it's not the forerunner of a change in the Constitution, because our religious and immoral people are at the basis of our freedom. So that's where the founders came from. And I kind of suspect that most Americans are going, what? I never thought of this. You know, this idea of virtue, I mean, come on.
That's why I wanted to tie this together, because I think this directly relates, as you mentioned at the start of the broadcast today. You know, people are going to look at Memorial Day as nothing but a day off of work, a beer bash or whatever you want to call it, just a time to barbecue and have a good time, and it's entertainment day. And I get wanting to take a break, and I get some of those things, but I also get we need to really reflect on the sacrifice that has gone before us. And we need to tie that to the keys to success. And that's, you know, really important. We need to really realize there are solutions to these problems. America's not done for. We can't just cop out and say, man, it's just going down. We've got to say, what can I do to make things better? What can I do to provide solutions? What can I do to make sure that, you know what, when I go before God, that I have clean hands, that I have, you know what, I did my very best to be born on the earth and live my life in a way, personally, publicly and privately, I might add. And then what did I do to advocate and encourage others to do the same, to follow Christ? And you know what? We can pretend, oh, well, Sam, I'm not as religious as you are. Or Sam, those are your values, not mine. Or you could say whatever you like. But you know what? The founders hit on fundamental truths. When George Washington said religion and morality are the two great supports, he was giving us the keys to success. It wasn't just an idle statement or opinion from, a nobody. This is a fundamental eternal truth that, in my opinion, was revealed and articulated to the people by our founders. Okay, they prayed, worked, gave everything on this altar. And they learned from studying history, and I believe in addition to all that they could learn themselves from history and experience. And then that was coupled with God's guidance on these matters. And they learned the principles of truth, and they learned to point them out in a meaningful way that we need to take heed. We need to consider these things and then make a difference in our own lives. And since I know that the word of God is more powerful than the sword, I want to spend my time focusing on God, family, and country, focusing on these guidance milestones that can chart our one course away if we're cognizant, but more importantly, can chart our way back if we'll heed the call, so to speak, Dr. Bradley.
Well, without taking the whole time that it would take to read George Washington's farewell address you mentioned, but inaugural address, it is a phenomenal study on this exact issue. He said, just skipping through a couple little things, the foundation of our national policy will be laid on the pure and immutable principles of private morality. Oh, my goodness. Bill Clinton. Oh, anyway, let's skip down this a little bit. There is so...
But not only
there
Bill Clinton, Donald, and everybody else.
Oh,
right?
Come on.
But
yes,
think about
absolutely.
Bill Clinton is just a milestone to say all these people. There's sexual scandal everywhere.
There is. All of their licentious amours seem to be scandalously spoken of throughout the pages of everything that's reported. Going on with Washington's first inaugural, there is no truth more thoroughly established than that there exists in the economy and course of nature an indissoluble union between virtue and happiness, between duty and advantage, between the genuine maxims of an honest and magnanimous policy and the solid rewards of public prosperity and felicity. We ought to be no less persuaded that the propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained. See, let me just read just another little tidbit after that. And since the preservation of the sacred fire of liberty and the destiny of the Republican model of government are justly considered, perhaps, as deeply as finally staked on the experiment entrusted to the hands of the American people. This is something we're still kind of proving out. Are we worthy of it? And are we going to stand with the principles that will allow us to continue to be free? As Montesquieu said, you know what, if virtue's lost, you're going to lose your constitution. And I think that we're very, very, very far down that path. And
isn't it interesting that virtue is often compared to fire? When it's properly maintained, it's a wonderful blessing. It provides warmth and stability and safety and comfort and all kind of things. When it's out of the fire pit, when it gets out of control, it's disaster. Well, the same thing, he uses the term fire of liberty here. Will we tend that fire of liberty and make sure that it stays within its proper bounds? Will we make sure that we carry forward the torch of liberty with religion and morality as the great supports to do so? Or will we miss the lesson? That's really the question that we have for everyone today, this Memorial Day. We want you to think about it. We want you to study the Founding Fathers. We want you to take a little bit of time to spread the word. You know what? Will you tend the fire of liberty with us? Will you help keep it burning bright, but safely where it belongs? Will you help us by turning to God, family, and country? Will you help us by funding or doing your part? Whether you may say, I'm just not a talk show host, Sam. I can't get on the radio and do what you do. I know, but that doesn't matter. What matters is everyone plays their own role wherever they find their place. Turn to God. He'll show you where it is. And each of us can play our own roles wherever we can stand and do our part. Each person has unique talents brought to the table. It may be completely different than the way Sam Bushman goes about it or Dr. Bradley goes about it. But as long as we're all doing our part, God Almighty, I promise you, will prosper our efforts, Doctor. That is the quintessential point today.
Two brief statements by Sam Adams, considered the father of the revolution. This stuff is interwoven inextricably with everything we do. He said, the sum of all is, if we would most truly enjoy the gift of heaven, let us become a virtuous people. Then shall we both deserve and enjoy it. While, on the other hand, if we are universally vicious and debauched in our manners, though the form of our Constitution carries the face of the most exalted freedom, we shall, in reality, be the most abject slaves. Then on another occasion he said, I thank God that I've lived to see my country independent and free. She may long enjoy her independence and freedom, if she will. It depends on her virtue. So, I mean, I think that this virtue thing is interwoven with the things of, the Memorial Day, and oftentimes morality gets set aside. That's the first thing that gets set aside in a war. I mean, after all, it is institutionalized, legalized mass murder. And that's why it was put out by the Founding Fathers.
And the fruits of war, or whatever you want to call it, the spoils of war, oftentimes are conquest of every sort.
Oh, the every single moral issue is exacerbated in the wrong side when morality and war. I mean, it's institutionalized, legalized mass murder. And so that's why, as we consider this thing about Memorial Day, yes, indeed, there have been huge, immense sacrifices that have been done throughout our history. But to enter it wrongly sets aside all the other moral standard that God has given us. And virtue is one of those things that, purity, it's a difficult thing to maintain under the circumstances of the fog of war, if you will. So these are things I think we need to give consideration to as we think about this Memorial Day. And the price of liberty is blood, human blood, and it's been paid. We don't
reality,
want to
reality, facts, poignant discussion, solutions, all on the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. Dr. Scott Bradley, thank you so much. FreedomsRisingSun.com, his website. My website, LibertyRoundtable.com. Our nationally syndicated radio network, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, share the love, tell the tale, will you please? We wish you a happy Memorial Day and pray you'll focus on these weightier matters, would you please? I testify Jesus Christ will return. Our job is to ready a people for that to happen. Ready ourselves and our families and those around us. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.